Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we're here with a new session in our study series, The Power of Eight. This week, it's week 13, and we're glad you're with us because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about the who, our new identity in Christ, the last 2 weeks, and this is so significant for us to really grasp, to fully understand and embrace who we are in Jesus Christ, because something has happened. We died in Christ, we were buried in Christ, and now we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So we have a post-resurrection journey ahead of us. So that's what our life is all about. It's fueled by this resurrection of Jesus Christ, and everything about that resurrection is the truth that moves us forward.
Yeah.
So that resurrection gives us a brand new identity. We're a part of this new creation that God brought into being, into existence through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we need to understand who we are so that we can fully and joyfully live this post-resurrection experience.
Yeah.
So who are you? You're a child of God. Christ lives in you. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're in union with Christ. God's Spirit lives in you. That's who you are. And as this new creation, as this post-resurrection creation, you were no longer under the law. And that's where we ended our study last week. And this really gets into the how. So we've understood the who we are as believers in Christ. Now we ask the question, how as believers in Christ do we then live? We knew what life was like for us as sinners. We relied on human effort. We relied on our own understanding concerning things. We established rules and regulations and rituals to try to move us in the right direction. But all of that just highlighted our sinfulness. It really took an x-ray of what was going on really inside of us. And when we looked at the truth, we said, help. And when we cry out, help, the Lord is there to answer. And we're saved. And here's what happens. Instead of Christ trying to help us become better people, he draws us unto himself, and we die in Christ. So that old man has been crucified once and for all, has been crucified with Christ Jesus. We're buried with Christ Jesus, and now we come alive in Christ Jesus. So his resurrection is kind of the dividing line from old creation, new creation. So we're a part of this new creation. So the law had its say when we were lost. But now that we're alive in Christ, it doesn't have a say into our lives. It doesn't have authority in our lives. Why? Because the Spirit of God is now in charge. And that's what we want to talk about over these next 2 weeks, how we live as children of God.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is our weekly study called The Power of Eight. We're glad you're with us. And Bob, our regular listeners hear this incredibly good news of Jesus Christ and the New Covenant every day on Basic Gospel, but we have a live event on the calendar for early September, something just not much more than a month away, that's going to bring everything together in a very, very beautiful style. It's the Simply Grace Conference, and as I said, a little more than a month away, so time for everyone to make their plans. Get registered and be there.
Yes, indeed. This is going to be a fantastic conference. We're going to look at the grace of God from start to finish. We're going to look at it from a big picture view, and then we're going to bring it down to a granular view and look how it impacts us on a day-to-day basis. And so you're going to walk away from this conference realizing that it's grace at the beginning, grace at the middle, grace at the end, and that once the grace of God starts in your life, it never ends. That's just the power of the grace of God. There's so much out there, so much confusion out there about the grace of God, and we're trying to figure it out through our own understanding. We're trying to use our human intellect to come up with some ideas about what grace is. Well, we're going at it the wrong way. God is the author of grace, and he sent Jesus, the one who was full of grace and truth, to reveal this to us.
Yeah.
So if we want to know anything about the grace of God, we're going to have to take a serious look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's what this conference is all about. And I guarantee you, if you come with an open heart, receptive mind, with a dependence upon the Holy Spirit to teach you, you will be blown away. This will revolutionize your whole Christian experience and give you the hope that you can truly experience victory in life here and now.
That's it, friends. The Simply Grace Conference with Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of it, and that's coming up September 6th and 7th right here in Louisville, Texas. All the information available at basicgospel.net/events. We encourage you to go there right now. And again, that's at basicgospel.net/events. But right now, let's get back to the Power of Eight. And again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So as children of God, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, as people in whom Christ lives, we are no longer under the law. So in Galatians 3, 24 and 25, we read this. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law.
Yeah.
So this law that we're talking about, that's the Mosaic Covenant, it's the Ten Commandments, it's 613 total laws that govern the way of life for the people of Israel.
Don't even breathe.
That's right. So it was between God and the people of Israel. But it had a spiritual purpose for all people. So when Adam and Eve sinned, then all of humanity fell under the law of sin and death, which states this: the wages of sin is death. So we were all under that law, the law of sin and death. And so these Ten Commandments, in any measures of righteousness, any metrics that we use, just show us our sinfulness, that we are enslaved to the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
And so it keeps us there until Christ is revealed to us. When Christ is revealed to us, the purpose of the law has been carried out in its fullness.
Yeah.
So it's done everything it has been designed to do by God. So once it's done that, then the law steps aside and gives way to Jesus. So we see that in a beautiful story about John the Baptist. When Jesus shows up on the scene, he gets baptized by John the Baptist, and then John says this statement, "He must increase, I must decrease." Well, what did John the Baptist represent? He represented the ultimate righteousness of the law. He represented the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
And so all of that pointed to Jesus. Jesus was there, and now he stepped aside so that Jesus could carry out his ministry. That's what the law does with you and me. Once the law fulfills its purpose in our lives, shows us our need for Christ, then when Christ comes on the scene, the law says, "He must increase, I must decrease." The writer of Hebrews said the law is obsolete, and it is
ready to disappear,
fading away, and will soon disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the story. So the law is put in charge to lead us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, here's another reason that this is the case. In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Well, guess what happened when Jesus took his last breath on that cross? When he cried out in victory, "It is finished." Well, all of the conditions of the law were fully met in Jesus at that moment. Why? The end result of the law is death. As Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law is a ministry of condemnation. The law is a ministry of death. Well, Jesus stepped in our shoes. He tasted death for all humanity, and he fulfilled and brought an end to the law. Now, that's just the way it is. Yeah. So at the cross, something happened. The law came to an end, and it gave way to a brand new covenant called the New Covenant. So as believers, this post-resurrection journey is lived out, it's carried out in the New Covenant, not the old. So let's get that right. Let's make sure we understand it. The law was pre-resurrection, and so it spoke to those who were under the law. But once we die in Christ, it can't say anything else to us. Yeah. We come alive in Christ, just as he was raised from the dead physically. We're raised from the dead spiritually, and now we have a post-resurrection journey. Well, there has to be something else that leads us forward. The law died at Christ, with Christ. Now something else is going to lead us forward. So who fulfilled the law? Jesus Christ fulfilled the law in its entirety. So that is good news. Indeed. Paul put it this way in Romans 10, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. There was no righteousness under the law. There was only unrighteousness. That's what the law depicted. That's what the law pointed out in each and every one of us. You may have thought you were righteous, but if you put yourself under the microscope of the law, you were going to change your mind quickly. Why? Because you were going to see the truth that your self-righteousness, your righteousness, is nothing but filthy rags.
Absolutely.
So we live in a post-resurrection reality. The law is not a part of that post-resurrection reality. It died at the cross 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Spiritually, it's still convicting and showing people their need for Jesus, convicting them that their sin is unbelief in Jesus. Yeah. It's still doing that work, and the Spirit is using it for that work. But once somebody comes alive in Christ, something else is going to lead them forward. It's not the law.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. The Power of Eight. That's our study this week and every Friday for a while. And friends, let me remind you that it's only because of your gifts that keep this broadcast on the air and online every day, proclaiming this truth of Jesus Christ in that new covenant. We hope you'll help by donating today, as a matter of fact, at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you our 6th CD series, Gateway to Grace, and its accompanying study guide. It's a great resource, and we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity of getting a copy for yourself. So click that big donate link at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. That's Gateway to Grace, and you'll find it on the website at basicgospel.net when you make your donation this month to support Basic Gospel. Now back to week 13 of The Power of Eight.
Yes, indeed. So as children of God, how then should we live? Well, it's not the law. Why? Because the law has done its work in our lives. It has stepped aside and has given way to something else, and that something else is Jesus Christ himself. He is going to lead us forward. So he was raised from the dead. He's alive. He's alive living in us. And so he is going to empower us to live in this post-resurrection journey and experience this resurrection life to the full. Now, let's get back to understanding the fact that we are no longer under the law. In Galatians, we read this, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. And what was that blessing? So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we were all under the curse of the law. The law of of sin and death. Christ stepped on that tree or was nailed to that tree. He became a curse for us. And in so doing, he redeemed us.
Yeah.
So he went into the marketplace. He bought us out. He paid the price. He redeemed us and set us free from the curse of the law. And he did that so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So that's good news. That's part of this identity that we have in Christ as new creations. Mm-hmm. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Now in Galatians 4, he says this, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. So we were in bondage to the law of sin and death. Christ became that curse for us. He redeemed us so that we might receive the full rights of sons. So we have been brought out from underneath that condemnation of the law of sin and death. Now, the result of that is that the law has been fulfilled in us. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the law was powerless to do something inside of us. It was powerless to give us life. It was powerless to make us righteous. It was powerless to take away our sins once and for all. It was limited. It didn't have the ability to do any of those things that we needed.
Yeah.
And so Christ came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful man. Christ became the sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. Boy, we as people are very quick to condemn things out there that we judge to be sin. And there's sin, that's for sure, but we want our opinion, we want our condemnation to be registered out there so the world will know that we think that's sin.
Yeah.
Well, we just point people to the cross and say, hey, Jesus condemned it right there in sinful man. That's where the ultimate condemnation, and we stand with Jesus. But here's the good news. He did that so that redemption can come to those who receive him by faith. Mm-hmm. That's our story. That's our message. We want people to get on the other side of the cross and experience this post-resurrection life with us. We don't want to keep them over there in condemnation and death. We want them to recognize their need so that they can die in Christ, be buried in Christ, and be raised to walk in the newness of life. So the law has been fully met in us. Now, how did that happen? Because we died in Christ. The wages of sin is death. The righteous requirements of the law aren't going to be carried out until death is accomplished.
Right.
Jesus stood in our place. He died. We died in Christ. Now the law has been fully carried out in us. Do you get that?
Yeah.
You died in Christ. So the law has spoken and been carried out into its ultimate conclusion in you. Somebody gets convicted of murder. They go to trial. All the evidence points to their guilt. A jury of the accused examines the evidence.
And their peers.
And they look at it, and they find them guilty. Well, that's the first part. He's guilty of murdering this person. The next part is the sentencing. Why? Because there's a punishment attached to a crime. And so they re-examine the evidence, and then they decide that this man deserves the death penalty. Well, he goes into prison. He's on death row for a period of time. Has the law been fulfilled in that person's life while he's still on death row? Absolutely not. Why? Because the law says this man is guilty of murder and the punishment is death. Well, when will the law be fulfilled? When he is executed according to the law.
Yeah.
Guess what, folks? We were executed in Christ. Mm-hmm. We died in Christ Jesus. So the law has been carried out in its entirety, in its fullness, in you and in me. But we didn't stay in the grave. We came alive together with Christ. And now, in this post-resurrection life, this resurrection life that we have, somebody else is going to lead us forward. And that somebody else is Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. So how should we live? By faith in Christ.
Yeah.
That's the newness of life. In Romans 8:14, it says this, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So how do you live as a son of God? You're to be led by the Spirit of God. And then in Galatians 5:18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if you're led by the Spirit, it means that you've died in Christ, that you've been buried in Christ, and that you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. What is that newness of life? It is being led by the Spirit. Now, this is such a hard truth for us to fully grasp and to fully embrace. Why? Because when we came into this world, we came into this world as a natural-born legalist.
Yeah.
Our tendency is to rely on law to lead us in this world and to govern us. And we're fearful if we don't have a law underneath us or as our rule of life, then we're just going to fly off the handle helter-skelter.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to do all sorts of things that are ungodly and unrighteous. So we want to go back to that law. And what does the Bible say? No, you need to come to a point and realize that you have died to the law. And you need to realize that so that you can live for God. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:19. He said, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. Well, Paul was a law guy. I mean, that law meant everything to him until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he allowed the Spirit of God to take charge in his life and to lead him everywhere he went. But before he could fully embrace that and experience that to the full, he had to die to the law. He had to come to the point and say, hey, the law did its work in my life. I'm appreciative of what the law did, and that it showed my own covetousness and pointing me to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to leave it where it belongs, and my focus, my heart, my eyes are going to be fully set on the Lord Jesus. And when they're fully set on the Lord Jesus, guess what? You're going to be living for God.
Yeah.
It is impossible to live for God under the law.
Right.
You may think you are, but you're just being hypocritical. If you want the real thing, you have to die to the law so that you can be truly led by the Spirit.
Good stuff, Bob. And again, thank you so much for these great insights in our study, The Power of Eight. And next week, friends, we'll be back for another session, and we hope that you'll join us for that as well. Also, we need your support here at Basic Gospel as we bring the truth of Jesus Christ and the New Covenant to the airwaves every day. To make your gift, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Also, click events to get all the information on this great conference coming up, a live conference with Bob and the staff. It's called the Simply Grace Conference. It's going to be held right here in Louisville, Texas, and that's September 6th and 7th. Well, now for Bob and all the staff, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that we'll be back again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll be here, too. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.